So my husband Chris has got me watching all kinds of different movies. Movies that I probably never would have gotten to see before. A couple of nights ago, we were watching Godzilla Minus One. And believe it or not, Godzilla Minus One actually has some dull moments in it. And in one of the dull moments, I got on my iPhone and I checked my email. And in my email, there was a message from Rothy's. Does anybody know what a Rothy is? Yes. This is a Rothy. A Rothy is a shoe that is made out of recycled plastic bottles. Isn't that cool? And it's also cool because you can put it in the washer and dryer when it gets dirty. So I love my Rothy's. And I actually opened the email, which I don't usually open from, you know, salespeople, but it was a survey. So I started filling it out, thinking it would maybe last a minute or two. Oh my goodness, it went on and on with all these impossible questions like, do you care more about sustaining the earth or the comfort of your feet? Well, I mean, I want the earth to be sustained more importantly, but if I can't walk, that wouldn't be good either. I was filling out this endless survey when it occurred to me, this is feedback. We all need feedback. The successful companies will try to get your feedback and they will listen to it. They will ask you what you like and what you don't like, what you think about this or that. And if you and I are smart, we would find people that we trust and we would ask for feedback. But instead, today, most of us don't. Most of us only talk on a polite level with people. And if we do something, we'll post it on social media, put it up there on Facebook and just see how many people like it, as if that's feedback. Or post a video on TikTok. But what we're missing is those honest conversations with people that we love and trust, who really tell us the truth. More and more, those kind of conversations are hard to come by. It's hard to hear from people what they really think. I mean, I've lived here now for 15 years, but this still baffles me, I guess because I'm from the North. When someone goes to the hospital, I will say, would you like me to visit them? And they will say, well, only if you can make it. And I'll say, no, would you like me to visit you? Well, I don't want to put you out, dear. Well, would you like it, though? Could you just tell me that? After the 8 o'clock, someone came up and said, Kate, that's Southern for yes. But I'm worried about us, seriously, in this age of the screen. Because we're forgetting the value of a real, deep, honest conversation that involves feedback. And that's just what we have this morning in the gospel. This is one of the greatest conversations that Jesus has with a human being. He's talking with Peter. They're walking to Caesarea Philippi. Don't forget that Jesus had a discipleship group. He had a small group of people who he prayed with regularly, who he could talk to honestly. And it's about halfway through his ministry when along the road he pulls them aside and he asks them for feedback. He says, what are people saying about me? Who do people say that I am? In other words, is anyone getting it? Is anyone getting the message? And first the disciples say, well, some people say you're John the Baptist, and some people say you're Elijah or one of the prophets. And then Peter hits the nail on the head. He says, you are the Messiah, the Christ. The Gospel of Matthew has the same story, but a little bit more to it. Peter says, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks at Peter, and he does something that God does only a few times in the Bible, but it's incredibly important. God changes his name. When God changes your name in the Bible, it means that you are being transformed from the inside out. God changed Abram into Abraham. God changed Jacob into Isaac. God would later change Saul into Paul. And God changes Simon into Cephas, or Peter, which means rock. Peter was the first one who got it. The first one to make the leap to believe. And back in those days, when they built a home, they would first put a cornerstone down on the ground. That was the place that was the rock upon which the house would be built. So Jesus is saying, Peter, you're the rock. You're the first believer. My whole church will be built from you. This is good feedback, right? And then Jesus goes on, though. He says, I am the Messiah, but I'm not going to act like the one you expect. I'm actually going to die. I'm going to be condemned to death. And then I'm going to rise again. And Peter pulls him aside and says, no, that's not the way it's going to happen. No, you're going to do well. You're going to win battles. That's what the Messiah is supposed to do. And Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. So all of a sudden, Peter goes from being the rock to being Satan in one conversation. Talk about a roller coaster. Talk about getting things right and then getting things wrong. Jesus says, you're thinking like people. You're wanting me to win a war. You're wanting me to win the football game. You're wanting me to get better at stuff. You're wanting me to earn a lot of money. You're wanting me to be successful. That's not what God cares about. That's not the way that God thinks. Stop tempting me. It was a hard conversation for Peter, but it was a transformative one. And one thing I love about Peter is he had the courage to talk honestly. And we need that same courage to have those great conversations with people we love, to ask them truly what they think, and to be truthful about who we are. There is a beautiful novel called Go as a River about a woman named Victoria. She was born in 1949 in Gunnison, Colorado, the daughter of a very hardworking farming family. Her younger brother was prone to bouts of rage and violence. Victoria, or Tori, fell in love with an indigenous boy. Back then, they called them Indians, or they called them names. Her brother saw her kissing him. Her brother hunts him down and kills him. And Victoria, at 17, realizes she's pregnant with this child. She runs off into the woods and manages to have the baby all by herself. And starving, she finds a couple in a park with a woman who's nursing a baby, and she leaves her baby in their car. She goes back to her farm and resumes her life as if nothing has happened. And she doesn't tell anyone about her child, about her love, about her loss. And she finds that she's able to live, but she's not able to love anyone. It takes her 20 years until she grows a friendship with another woman named Zelda, who's unable to have children and has had multiple miscarriages. And finally, Victoria, in a courageous conversation, tells her the truth. And in that friendship, with the guidance of her friend, she's able to begin looking for her son. You know, there's a grove of aspen trees in Colorado. They used to think that the trees were individual trees, but botanists and arborists have realized that there's a root system linking all of them for hundreds of miles. They're actually part of one organism. God made us as community. God made us together. We are not meant to be alone, and we are not meant to hold our stories to ourselves. God didn't make the mirror. And without the mirror, you and I could not see ourselves, right? And in reality, we cannot see ourselves clearly, even if we have a mirror. We must have the courage to speak to one another and be true about who we really are, about our past, about our hurts, about our wounds. Jesus says, "Take up your cross and follow me." But you must express your cross to someone so that you know who you are before you can go and do what God calls you to do, like Victoria going and searching for her son, and she does find him. If we are to truly follow Jesus, we must have the courage to tell the truth about who we are to the people we love and trust, and to ask them for guidance, for feedback, for honesty, knowing that whether we are filled with their praise or whether they scold us, that they will still love us just the same as God loves you. Always, forever. Amen.